In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the first title, Suffering in the Light of Divine Revelation. Quotation from Proverbs and Hebrews. My son, despise not chastening of the Lord, neither be weary or of his correction, for whom the Lord loved, he chastising and scourging every son whom he received. The question of suffering is one of the most sensitive questions. Many ask themselves, why has God created us to suffer in this world from different diseases, sorrows, calamities, troubles, and misfortunes, from passion and the inside, from bad people on the outside, from the envy of neighbors, from the menace of enemies? For those who do not believe in God, this world is a hopeless valley of sorrows. Life for them is a sad symphony and wailing and weeping. Some in their despair even say that there is no other hell beyond the grave, that hell is here on earth. In this way, earthly sorrows, not being lightened by the hopes of heavenly revelation, lead to pessimism and despair. The worst thing in such case is the suffering does not carry any meaning in itself that would soften it, making it doubly to bear. Here we will endeavor to examine the question of suffering in the light of the divine revelation. First of all, one thing must be clear to us. God has created us not for sorrow, but for joy. Where do we see men for the first time? In paradise. According to the testimony of the Holy Bible, especially of the New Testament, men intended for paradise, not for hell. The fact that many are perishing does not yet mean that such were God's intentions for men. No, God is love. He does not want the death of the sinner. But on the contrary, we will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. St. Timothy, the letter. The following situation is very significant. On Judgment Day, the Savior will say to the righteous, come, you blessed and my of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he will say to the sinner, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for you by the devil and his angels. From this, it is clearly seen that according to God's plan, paradise was prepared for men and hell for the demons. For the demons. Second point, Adam. God placed Adam in paradise, in that wonderful place of joy. The first man was unspeakably happy because he was close to God. Happiness is being with God. And away from him, there is no true or lasting joy. In the kingdom of God, where God himself will rule, there will be no sorrow. God will wipe away every tear from the eye. Adam was happy in paradise as long as he had an inner connection with God through grace. But where did sorrows come from? Where? From sin. As soon as Adam sinned, he began to suffer, even though he was still in paradise. Sin carries its own punishment in itself. The devil destroys his friends. Big time. Those who obey his will, conscience reproaches the one who goes against the divine principles and transgresses God's commandments. Even before God drove Adam out of paradise, Adam himself had already left it inwardly by violating God's law by losing the grace. He began to suffer from the moment he fell. It is not God, then, who is to blame for Adam's suffering, but it is Adam himself. God had created him for joy, but he chose sorrow for himself. Third, the Christians. Some will say, if Adam has sinned, why do we have to suffer because of him today? We are his children, and as such, we must share the faith of our ancestor. But this answer treats only the objective side of the question. There is another side as well, which is subjective and explains the strength and consolation contained in our faith. We do not suffer only because some necessity to pay for our ancestors' sin. Everyone forges his own fate, and under the circumstance, we do not have to partake of all the disasters and sufferings of which Adam became a victim. If we want to, we can choose an other way of life, not the way of disobedience or pride, which ruined Adam, but the way obedience and humility, obedience and humility, and thus we can become happy even here on earth. This was somewhat possible even the Old Testament times. There have been righteous people like King David, for example, who found the lost joy of human life in their longing for God. How much more possible this is in New Testament times, after the coming of Jesus Christ, who came to earth to renew and regenerate fallen human nature, to restore to us grace and the lost paradisiacal bliss. The word of God testifies of the Savior and his wondrous gifts of grace. But as many as received him, to them gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, from St. John. To become a child of God, is this not the same as returning to the lost paradise? Is this not something even greater? This is how kind God is towards us, the children of Adam. He has given us the opportunity to avoid the disastrous fate of our ancestor if we want to. Adam was gifted by God with a free will, but he misused his freedom and transgressed God's law. That is why he began to suffer. We too have this great gift, freedom. Freedom. If we embrace God's law, if we subject our sinful will to the holy will of God, we will not suffer like Adam, but will foretaste the paradisiacal joys even in this life, and in the age to come we will also live in bliss eternally with those who have pleased God. The saints are a proof of this. They, while still on earth, were as if in paradise, because they were always in a mystical communion with God. They never fell away from his law, and through their humility and obedience, stayed firmly in the grace which made them infinitely happy, the saints. One of the most radiant saints, Saint Seraphim of Sarov, had achieved such a happiness on earth that it was simply overflowing the banks of his soul, and attracted all who came to him in faith. For example, of the saint of Sarov greeted everyone he met with the words, "What brings you to poor Seraphim, my joy?" He was living in such a blissful and joyous state that he always felt as if it were Pascha. That is why, even during the winter, he often said to people, "Christ is risen, my joy." Saint Seraphim of Sarov also lived in a marvelous peace with all animals, just like our buddies, Saint Francis of Assisi and his order. An enormous bear used to come to him from the woods to eat dried bread from his hands. Does not this remind us of Adam's condition in paradise? How much more wondrous is this because it happens here on earth? If things like this can happen even here, what would the condition of the righteous ones be in heaven? The fourth, joy in sorrow. You heard well. Joy in sorrow. Suffering in its nature is nothing else but a withdrawal from God. With God, it would be well even in hell. With God. It is known that before the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, not one of the righteous had access to paradise. Consequently, the righteous ones from the Old Testament who had died in faith were in hell, where they awaited their salvation. Sorrow over did not touch them because they were with God. In the book of Solomon's wisdom, it is said, "But the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and sorrow will not touch them. They seemed dead to the eyes of the foolish, but they abide in peace." Now, here just I wanted to tell you a little difference how we in the Catholic Church, in the dogma and moral theology, we considered. Even in the creed, we read he descended into hell, right? He descended to those saints who are in the hell, but with God, and that hell is not really the hell. What Saint John Paul II said very clearly, and I read several times in his book, that was only the limbo. And then the limbo was over at the moment Jesus went to heaven and opened the gate of heaven, and all these people descended into hell went immediately to heaven. So Jesus was the first one who came down from heaven and went back to heaven. So I just wanted to clarify for you that you would understand this is not a heresy what you heard. That's completely true, even the Roman Catholic teachings, okay? Now, on the other hand, without God, it would be terrible even in paradise. This is the secret of suffering, separation and withdrawal from God. If a man is with God, he is happy, and he says, like the psalmist, "For what have I in heaven? And besides thee, what I desired upon earth." Psalm 72. God is the source of joy, and the devil the source of suffering. That is why even the sorrows which come to us according to God's will in this temporary life carry in themselves joy and lead to heavenly glory if they are endured with faith and trust in God's good providence. In contrast, the temporal sinful pleasure with which the devil tempts us carry poisons in themselves, and their end is utter disappointment. Whoever follows God is happy, even in suffering. As the Holy Apostle Saint Paul speaks, sorrowful yet always rejoicing. That's in 2 Corinthians 6. But whoever follows the devil is unhappy, even in his earthly joys. How many wicked ones there are who seem to be prospering in this world, but take a peek in their hearts, you will see such suffering, such an emptiness there. It is true that the righteous too are not left without sorrows in life. The Savior himself has prophesied to his apostles, "In the world you shall have tribulation," St. John. The Holy Apostle St. Paul says directly, "All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But how different those sorrows, persecutions, and sufferings for Christ and in Christ are from the sorrows of the wicked. Their sorrows lead to hopelessness and despair. The ones in Jesus Christ to hope and joy. The sorrows of the faithless are storms which ravage everything. But the tears of the faithful are a quiet, gracious rain which helps the beautiful flowers of virtue to grow and bloom in the soul. This is one of the extraordinary things in our precious Christian faith. It brings joy even in suffering. It brings joy even in suffering. It transforms the sorrow into bliss. when Jesus Christ was leaving this earthly life,
bequeathed
to his beloved disciples sorrows and tears as if they were a most precious gift. Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. St. John chapter 16. He did this not to doom his beloved ones to inconsolable suffering, but to draw even more radiantly on that dark background of suffering a picture of immeasurable bliss, a picture of the immeasurable bliss waiting for them. Your sorrow shall be turned into joy, St. John 16. He said to them, your joy no man can take away from you. He said to them, only Jesus Christ can give such an eternal happiness, a happiness which cannot be taken away. In his sermon, he pronounced blessed those whom this sinful world considers to be the most wretched. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the weeping. Blessed are the meek, the hungry, the thirsty for righteousness, the persecuted for righteousness' sake, etc. To all those the Savior said, rejoice and be glad. How strange. To rejoice when one is unhappy, poor, helpless, persecuted, insulted, despised, hated, slandered. Before Christ, the world did not know how to rejoice over such calamities. But now, everything is reversed through the power of the God-man. All things work together for good to them that love God. That's Romans 8:28. This was my ordination title over 50 years ago. For the believers, sorrow has lost its poisonous sting. Quiet hope. He taken the place of the bitter despair of suffering, and suffering is not unbearably heavy anymore because it gives birth to sweet fruit. Rejoice and be glad, because sorrows are a fiery furnace in which gold is purified. Suffering in the hand on the sculpture, which makes the statue even more beautiful. Suffering are those thorny and frightening paths which lead to sunny peaks and paradisiacal views. Rejoicing and be glad. Jesus Christ himself sanctified the road of suffering with his own feet. Rejoice and be glad, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Letter to the Philippians. The word of God calls suffering a favor, a favor. It is the distinction of the chosen ones of God. It is a medal of honor for the beloved of Christ. When the holy apostles were imprisoned for preaching the teaching of Jesus Christ, when afterwards they were judged by the Sanhedrin, beaten and threatened so that they would stop speaking in the name of Christ, and when they were freed at last, they went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. In this way, the first Christians considered suffering for Christ to be a great honor and rejoiced in it. In the same spirit, the holy apostles advised the faithful followers of Jesus Christ to value suffering, to value suffering, to value suffering. And for example, the apostle James wrote, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations," James 1. And Saint Dmitry of Rostov teaches the words, "Diverse temptations are to be understood as all kinds of sorrows, griefs, misfortunes, persecutions, embittering, diseases, and adversities. Impoverishment and suffering, which occur either by God's permission or by the human menace, or naturally, or by chance, or by an action of the evil. In all such cases, the holy apostles advised the Christians to rejoice, and to lay their sorrow on God. What a deep and perfect understanding the first Christians had of suffering and its beneficial influence on the soul of the person who endures it patiently. And let us close our first conference here with a prayer for this holy priest, his Archimandrita. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, None that the other for that. Amen.